My name is Lisa Withers, and today is Sunday, July 26, 2015. I am in the home of Miss Esther M. Shelton, class of 1973, to conduct an oral history interview for the UNCG African American Institutional Memory Project. Thank you, Miss Shelton, for participating in this project and for sharing with me your experiences today. I'd like to start the interview by asking about your childhood, if you'd be willing to share with me when and where you were born.
I was born in 1951 in Durham County, North Carolina. I grew up in a rural community. The town is Rougemont, North Carolina. R-O-U-G-E-M-O-N-T.
That's a new one on me. I've not heard of Rougemont.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So would you be willing to share a little bit about your family?
Yeah. I grew up, and I hesitate to describe it because it wasn't this way. Single parent household for a number of years. Early on, because we lived so far out, this was, remember, back in the 50s. So mass transportation was a tough thing, and not everybody had vehicles. So my mother actually worked in Durham. And, you know, she didn't drive for a number of years. And so she depended on other people for transportation. So some of the time I lived with my great-grandmother. And that was a large household with my great-grandmother, her sister, my uncle's family. And I think there were 10 or 11 of them, mostly boys. So, and their primary, and we just lived across the street from each other. So it was like, you know, I just walked over, I had a place there to sleep as well as at home. But their primary source of income was farming, although my uncle also worked in Durham as well.
So what was it like growing up in the 1950s and into the 60s?
I mean, I was just a kid out in rural North Carolina who played, you know, out on the farm, tobacco fields, you know, play with the other kids, not traveling around much. Radio was a big thing.
What were some of the popular shows that would come on the radio?
Well, it was not so much of that. It was the music, and I do remember that the one thing that got everybody's attention was they liked the fights. And so they would broadcast the boxing matches. Yeah. And so with that, you know, we'd sit around. And then I remember when we got, I don't remember the year we got a TV, but I remember by the time I started elementary school, we had a TV. You know, and my favorite shows was Diver Dan, and looking back on that, that was just one of the stupidest things. It was just this sort of animated little thing, but Diver Dan was one of the shows, and, you know, you look forward to coming back. But, you know, TV wasn't the big thing back then that it is now. Okay. You know, there was one TV, it was black and white, you know. So, but, yeah. But, you know, not a lot of, I mean, you learn to play outside, or I say learned, basically, that was the only way to play, you know. Baseball, that was probably a you had to buy a ball. But we did do this really silly thing because we farm. We could also make balls out of twine. And, I mean, you look at me like this, but that was like, yeah, so everybody did that, No big thing. But that's the kind of thing you did. You just figured out what you had. No one had a sense of poverty, because we could always buy grocery plus, things that were grown as well and raised, chickens, hogs, had a couple horses, and so that was, everything was fine. Nobody wanted for anything or knew to want for anything, So it was good.
Yeah. Well, could you share with me where you went to school growing up?
Right. So I went to the same school from the first grade through the 12th grade. Right. I went to Little River School. And did not go to kindergarten because we didn't have one at the time there. So you just went to first grade. No Head Start, at the time either. And I was in the last graduating class of that school because integration forced the closing of the high school, and it merged into the high school down the road. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So. Now, I'd like to ask, so before integration,
yeah,
what was it like to be in class at Little River? What was that going to school experience? How would you describe it?
Like being with your family, you grew up with everybody, went to church with them, and you have to understand, you knew everybody. I mean, and even to this day, when people have, younger than me moved away and they come back, they may recognize me. I mean, because it was really like a family school, and the teachers knew everybody, and they were like an extension of your parents, and they basically could say to you, look, we know your parents don't have time to deal with your misbehavior or you're not doing your work, and I mean, you just understood that I'm in trouble starting here. It's hard for me to compare it to what kids experience today, because it's so different. I mean, and in some ways, if you wanted to compare it now, it may have been more like a private school than simply because you knew everybody. Everybody seemed to have a vested interest in you, my graduating class, there were 18 of us.
Just 18?
I think there were just 18 of us in my graduating class.
Wow, that's small.
Yeah. That's why I'm seriously, Yeah.
Yeah, very different when you have classes, from 200 to 500 students.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Okay. And so you were mentioning the school closed when they were... I'm assuming the county was forced to integrate?
Right. Integration became a big thing, and so, yeah.
Could you share with me what that process looked like in your area, what happened?
Well, actually, they had started to do some integration before that year, and students were able to elect to go to the other high school. Okay. That opportunity wasn't actually given to my class, but it was given to the classes before us. And they also had, I can't remember, it's been a long time ago now. I do remember that they integrated some of the elementary school faculty early on. And then they offered that opportunity, and just a couple of students switched schools. I mean, they knew it was coming, so they decided to go ahead and do that. But I remember it must have been disturbing for someone, because we came to school one day after the weekend, and someone had burned a cross in the schoolyard out in front of the school. Yeah.
In front of Little River.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, you know, like a message. We're not happy, you know, about this. Well, we weren't happy either, so, you know. But anyway, that's what it was like. But, you know, I grew up in a time where the message from the adults was, you go along and get along and don't start anything. Don't go get in trouble, mm-hmm. you know. And so that was really pretty clear.
Okay.
So we were not radicals. We were not radicals at all. Wouldn't have been tolerated. So.
Okay. If you don't mind me asking, what was the school that was integrated into down the road?
Northern High School.
Northern High School.
What?
Okay, and so I was wondering if you could share with me, what are some of your favorite subjects that you remember enjoying while you were in school?
Oh, in elementary and high school? Oh, math and science.
Math and science, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Were there any really good teachers you had for those subjects, or just anything about the material that you really liked?
Mm-hmm. I just liked math and science more than English. I didn't really care about diagramming sentences or reading the stories, you know. But I like the processes, and math and science seemed to be easier for me. So I liked that best.
Okay. So how did you come to UNCG? What was that? How did that come that you would eventually attend the university?
As an option? Well, okay, so I graduated second in my class, which was not a big deal. There were 18 of us. Okay. All right. And my SAT scores weren't bad, given, you know. And so my choices were UNCG. I initially wanted to be a physical therapist. And so then UNCG was an option, because when I actually applied to Carolina to get into the School of Physical Therapy, not to go into the general, mm-hmm. you know, education track. But you were actually admitted into the School of Physical Therapy as a freshman. So I applied to Carolina and UNCG, thinking that I would transfer to Carolina. But I really wanted to go to Ohio State, and was accepted at Ohio State. But my mom said, that's too far. Too far. Can't put my hands on you. In a day. And she didn't really, you know, she drove some, but that would have been a stretch. And so I was waitlisted to the School of Physical Therapy. I was like second or third on the list, and I was ready to be done with all that. So there was a program, and I don't remember what it was called back then, but the person that was first in our senior class and I both had applied to UNCG. And so we went up and spent the night, you know, and walked around the campus, and I went, this looks pretty good. So UNCG was, you know, where I was going to go. So.
You knew because they had the program you were looking for.
I could do the preliminary work and then transfer.
Okay. So what was the reaction of your family and friends at your decision to go to UNCG?
That was fine. They were happy with that, you know. And I just remember my uncle saying, don't go up there and get into any trouble. Okay.
So do you recall your first days on campus?
Sort of. You know, I mean, my roommate for the first 2 years was the person that was the valedictorian. So, and we grew up together. We'd known each other from 1st and 12th grade. I mean, it was a big deal, you know. So, okay. So we had each other. Mm-hmm. And it was a matter of getting to know other students. That was the first time I had lived in close proximity to people who were not African American, you know. And so that was still during a time when racial tensions were heightened, shall we say. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of tough, you know, trying to figure out what was okay and what was not okay. And at the time, I had a part-time job back here.
In Durham County?
In Chapel Hill.
Oh, Chapel Hill, okay.
Right. And so I just, most of my time at UNCG, I didn't spend a lot of weekends there. Because I worked on the weekends, I came back here. Yeah. Okay. So it was like I'd be in and out of that life, you know. I came here, I worked, and I went back. Yeah.
So how would you describe your transition from high school to college at UNCG?
It was difficult. Okay. You mean in terms of the class material and just all of that?
Both, whatever you feel comfortable sharing about that process.
Well, it was difficult. First of all, I was in a classroom where everybody was really... should have been able to perform at the same level. I mean, hence the selection process, you know, for being there. But I think I was distracted a lot by just this whole difference, you know, of the lecturing process. I mean, that whole classroom lecturing, I can't remember the guy's name that was my history professor. I mean, but I saw more of his back than his face, because he'd talk a little bit and he'd turn around and he'd, you know. And so the whole idea of learning to study, take notes, prep for tests, I was a fish out of water, right? Because I didn't have to do all of that when I was in high school. You know, I could just sit, listen. The only class that I really took notes were the science and math classes, you know, and then I knew, you know, the kind of stuff, you know, but you know, history, French, you know. I liked my French class. She was, I don't remember her name either. I remember her face, but not her name, but... she was quite expressive, you know, and I, you know, with the language, and she would speak to us in French, and, you know, I actually felt like I got, you know, something out of that. So that I enjoyed, but English, history, even the classes I thought that would be better were just, the whole delivery method was difficult.
So just the traditional, the professor might say a few words, then turn around, write on the chalkboard, mm-hmm. and then that back forth for the duration of the class.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Not as interactive as it had been in high school, you know, so. And the art of studying was not a tool in my bag, you know. So, anyway, so there.
Okay.
So it was difficult.
Yeah.
And then I was gone on the weekends.
True.
You know,
okay. So what did you end up choosing as your major?
Well, that evolved over time, and finally I became a psychology major.
Okay. Well, what led to that? Was there anything, like there was a class you took and it you really loved it?
I just thought it was more suited to me and what I wanted to do. And probably in hindsight, well, definitely in hindsight, the program at UNCG was not really geared to what I thought that I wanted to do at the time.
The psychology program?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So are there any professors that you really do remember or that stand out to you when you think about your time at UNCG, or classes that really stand out in your mind as memorable classes or professors?
In over 40 years. I had this one summer I took a math class, and we didn't use a book. It was really cool.
At all during the whole class?
The idea was that we had to define everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on the definitions, you know, then we could solve the problems. And he actually, oh God, I can't remember much about him, but it was really an awesome class. I did extremely well because it was interactive.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was really interactive. You were thinking as you were working through it, you know, so yeah, so that was really cool. I'm trying to think. I'm just totally drawing a blank. Liked the French teacher.
It's okay.
Long time.
It's all right. That's one of the questions we always like to ask. And there's another variation, more in general. How would you describe the interaction between students and faculty, students with other students in the classroom, or even students with the university administration at the time you were at UNCG?
So, by the time I was at UNCG, it was later 60s.
Okay.
Right? And so those were turbulent times in many places. My freshman year at UNCG was the year that Kent State exploded.
Okay.
And there had been those shootings on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So
at Kent State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the year before in Greensboro at A&T, there had been a shooting on campus. Okay. And we were probably a week or so before finals. And I remember across town, the schools had made a decision to close early before finals.
In Greensboro?
Right.
Okay.
And so all of the schools, they were just really nervous because of what had happened. And so they instituted pass-fail, because it hadn't existed before. They instituted pass-fail, and finals were done over a couple of days. Based on what had been taught, boom, 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 and schools were shut down. Everybody went home. I remember that, yeah.
So this was after the shooting at A&T?
The following year.
The following year.
But the precipitating factor was Kent State.
Gotcha.
And so they shut all the schools down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All the colleges were just shut down. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you think that had a after effect in the following school years, as far as like the relationships with students, with other students, faculty, administration, or did things kind of change as more time passed?
When you say students, what do you mean? Do you mean African American students? Do you mean student body as a whole? What are you thinking when you ask that question?
A lot of times, I think it's generally interpreted between, you know, the African American and the white students being that we have so few African American students who are there. But it doesn't have to be that. It can be, you know, with the student body or any, whatever was your perception or memories of how the different students interacted with each other and then with other elements of the campus community.
Well, so I remember getting, this memory just flashed to me. I remember getting to campus and I saw pockets of African American students, you know, just little groups. And they were clearly upperclassmen who'd been there. Afros, like huge, you know, afros. And so, coming from rural North Carolina, oh boy, they're militant and I've been told to stay away. Okay. So, I didn't get to know, and I was fairly shy at the time as well. I didn't mingle a lot with other people. I started slowly getting to know people in my dorm. I clearly did not have close friends at the time, you know, other than the person that was, you know, my roommate. And she was very much more outgoing than me. And so she really got to know a lot of other people. Relationships with professors, I didn't even know how that was done. You know, so that's, I'm in a very different place today than I was then, you know, in terms of knowing, you know, what do you mean relationship with professors, administration, you know. Now, you know, I was just shy, you know.
It is interesting because we're finding out that the students didn't have a lot of interaction with administration. So.
Well, you know, I mean, what were you supposed to do with them? I mean, I think that's what people felt. You know, we're in this place, we're here, we came to get this education, you know.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. This is something I was trying to get a better understanding of what the campus dynamic, campus community was like at the time.
Yeah.
All right, so I know you mentioned that you went away on weekends a lot, so you weren't, no, there,
yeah,
but
I was working.
When you were on campus during the week, were you able to be involved in other campus activities at the time, or was it time mostly dictated by studying and academics?
I got another job working at the student union.
Oh.
Yeah, so I worked at the student union for 2 or 3 years there, I guess.
And it was in Elliott Hall.
Yeah, different from what it is today, but yeah.
Okay, so what type of things you were doing on your job at the student union?
You know, you check people into the listening rooms, and sometimes I'd work down at the pool area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or, you know, if there was an event, go unlock one of the, you know, like conference rooms that they had. That kind of thing. Just basically manning the desks.
Okay.
There. Yeah.
Okay. So you did that. Were there other things that come to your mind about what you were able to do outside of class?
I didn't really do anything outside of class. No.
Okay.
I didn't join any organizations. or do anything.
Okay. Name the Neo Black Society. We always ask about that one.
Okay. So I was told when I left home, don't get involved in these things.
Okay.
Don't get involved. Now, by the time my senior year had come around, it was quite clear to me that the Neo Black Society wasn't a militant organization that anybody should be afraid of, but, you know,
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned you lived with a friend from home the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you remember the name of the dorm you were in those first 2 years?
So I was in Mary Faust.
Okay.
And we were in Philip Hawkins. For the duration.
That's another popular dorm. I hear a lot. So, do you remember what dorm life was like when you were at UNCG? Or what was it like being in the dorms at the time? What kind of things did you have in your rooms? Or what were some of the things that y'all would do while y'all were hanging out in the dorms?
Well, at Philip Hawkins, they would have, like, parties, you know, because it was the male dorm on one side and, you know, women on the other. And so downstairs we had beer blasts and, yeah, we ordered some kegs of beer and it was loud. And so we had music and, you know, that was fun. And I would hang out some with the other, you know, African-American students when I was around. Yeah. So, you know, you date a little bit. And, you know, go out and get something to eat.
Well, that is one of our questions, is what was the dining hall like?
Lousy. It's terrible.
It was terrible.
It was terrible food. What? It was terrible food. If you had to, you ate there. But, I mean, it was the only option you had.
Was Tate Street not something that was popular, another popular option to go to?
Or? Well, you could go to Tate Street, but you had to have money to go to Tate Street.
That's true.
See, you went to Tate Street when you got your allowance. See, and, you know, I worked to have some money. But, you know, like the first year, it was a big deal. I might get $5 or $10 in the mail. That was huge. That was huge. You know? And my mom couldn't afford to send me money and blah, blah, blah. So I wanted clothes, books, thump, thump. I had to make a way. And that was cool, you know. But, yeah, you couldn't just go hang out on Tate Street.
So it was the dining hall with its lousy food.
Yeah, it sucked. Nobody really thought it was great. I mean, it was adequate.
Yeah.
You know. It's like hospital food. Would you say hospital food? It's a lot like that. Yuck.
Okay. So, on the times that you were on campus, do you remember any campus traditions that they may have still have had or they did?
Yeah.
Okay, what were some of those traditions?
Oh, what was that thing called? Oh, they raided. What was it called? They came in the middle of the night, the upper class women, basically. What was it called? Getting everybody up in the middle of the night. It was sort of a, what was it called? I can't remember what it was called. But it was like one of the traditions
Can you describe what happened?
The upper class women just came in and started, like a sorority would do. You know, banging on the doors, making people get up in the middle of the night. And you had to get up and go out, you know, side and you know, I don't even remember how much else happened after that, but it didn't mean that you really belonged to anything after that point, but it was just like razzing the freshmen, yeah. You know. Okay. So that was like one of the things that happened. I liked that they brought, I remember seeing the Fifth Dimension on campus. Okay, so they would do that. I also remember that they bussed, this was during the first month or two on campus. They didn't want us to go home for the first two or three, or was it 6 weeks? I can't remember. But anyway, you know, trying to get you over being homesick. And then they bussed, I don't know how many of us, Trailway, Greyhound, whatever it was, to Carolina for a mixer.
Okay.
And so I had several friends here, and so I was able to meet up with them, and we hung out and had a good time, so they did that. Okay. There was not much done with the schools that were in Greensboro, and I understand that today there are like buses where you can hop on a bus on campus and, you know, go to A&T or go to Guilford College or, you know, go to the mall. I mean, that was not possible. No, you had to know somebody with a car or catch a bus, you know. So, yeah.
Okay, so when you were at school, there was a lot of intermingling, especially at Mary Christie, you know, A&T, it's on the other side of town, and you had Bennett, or even you mentioned Guilford College, and I didn't realize that there were a few, but not many, but you didn't experience a lot of students or see a lot of students intermingling with those other campuses.
No, now the guys would come on campus. You know,
okay.
You know, the guys would come on whenever the freshmen showed up. Guys would come, and, you know, A&T guys were plentiful, you know, on campus at the time, and so... Okay. You know, and then some of the neighborhood guys would come, and, you know, yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, there were dating opportunities or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Basketball team was mostly intramural. I don't even know if they played other schools at the time. I don't remember going to a basketball game. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nothing there. Mm-hmm. But I didn't go to A&T's basketball games either. So, I mean, when I was there, I mostly stayed on campus, mostly in little small groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't venture out to join anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is in your small groups, y'all just hang out and just
talk?
Okay.
Yeah.
Like ours?
I didn't.
Okay. A lot of people talk about playing Bid with some Pinochle, so
yeah.
I didn't know if that was
anything
your group did.
No,
okay.
I didn't. No, we talked.
Okay.
Every now and then, you know, we would experiment with drinking because most of us didn't drink prior to coming, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
We might, you know, go to a movie or, you know, something. Mm-hmm. If somebody had enough money, or the bigger thing was put the money together and let's go out. You know, go somewhere and get something to eat.
Yeah.
Off campus.
Yeah. So when you were able to go and get some, okay, what were some of the restaurants that y'all would go to? Were there any that you remember?
Trying to remember. God, I don't even remember those things. There used to be Joker's, which was on the edge of campus. Do you know where, what is it now? So, what's the street that runs right through where the Yum Yum sits now?
Spring Garden?
Right. So, Spring Garden and Tate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bill. Is that the police station up on the corner now? Is it?
Yes. That's,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
One.
So, right in that lot, there used to be this, for lack of anything better to call it, burger joint that was, like, awesome. And I guess the university bought it, the property up, and it closed them down. But that was like one of the big places. And I dated a guy who actually worked there. And so I could get food, you know, for a while we dated. So that was okay.
And it was called Joker's?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, there was always Yum Yum.
Yeah.
Always Yum Yum.
It's a legend.
Yeah. Whenever I'm up that way and it's daytime and I think they're open, I gotta go to Yum Yum. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, I don't know if I've told you this, but so I graduated in 73, but I went back to UNCG.
Okay, yeah, that's one of the next sections I was getting to is what did you do after you graduated?
Yeah, so. I graduated, and I said, I'm done with school.
Mm-hmm.
And about a year later, I went, not so much. And I started thinking about it, and I went, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. So when I left UNCG, I had a bachelor's in psychology. Mm-hmm. I worked, I don't remember how many months, but maybe 2 or 3 months for the telephone company as an operator. And applied for a job as a social worker, which was what I really wanted to do, and was hired and worked. How many years did I work there? I forget now. But I was a social worker in Roxboro. Can't remember now, but and then I transferred from Roxboro because I was doing adult services in Roxboro, and I transferred to Orange County here, and up in Hillsboro, I went from doing adult services in Person County to adult services in Orange County. And then subsequently transferred within the department to children's services. So I was a social worker for 13 years between the two. And it became clear to me that life wasn't going to be quite what I wanted it to be if I remained a social worker for the rest of my life. I went, no, I can't do this. And so I actually went back to UNCG and got my MBA in 1987, I think it was when I finished the program, but I was still working full time.
Okay.
Except for the last year when I just said, okay, I'm ready to be done with all this. I took a year off and I finished all the coursework, got my MBA. And I was also taking enough accounting classes. And so I was able to sit for the CPA exam, and now I'm a CPA. Yeah, so.
So when you made your decision to go back to get your MBA, was UNCG your first choice for their program, or the other schools you're considering?
They had an evening program.
Okay.
And it worked for me, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you have to understand, I also developed a love for UNCG. Yeah, so at first it was, okay, yeah, this works. Okay, it's a good school. But I have a love for UNCG now.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a question I was going to ask if you had an opportunity to be involved with UNCG since you graduated.
Right, yeah. Okay. So, I got my MBA from UNCG.
Okay. And so were there other opportunities to come back to, like, alumni reunions or been involved in any other capacity at university?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, but I always drive through, you know. I also, back in the early 90s, my job gave me the opportunity to serve as a college professor. And so I taught for 2 years full-time at A&T in the accounting department. So that was kind of cool. Yeah. But, you know, because at one point I actually considered getting a doctorate. And I went, what do you do with a doctorate in accounting? What do you do with that? You know? So, teach, really. That's about it. You know? So, I decided against that. And, but, you know, because at one point I was thinking, wow, I wonder about teaching at, you know. And while I was on faculty at, well, adjunct faculty at A&T, you learn more about how it all works. And I went, no, not for me. You know, but... So I got a flavor of what it might be. And then I had an acquaintance that was on faculty at UNCG and learned a little bit about, you know, that. And I went, no. But I love the school. Yeah, love the school.
Well, you shared a lot with me about your experiences. I learned about a lot of new establishments and things at UNCG. And so I just wanted to ask, you know, for any student to, you know, hear about your experiences, what's a takeaway or what's something that you would really want people to understand about your experience there, or what your experience would have been the takeaway from your experiences at UNCG?
Takeaway. I think looking back, I did not immerse myself as I should have in the UNCG community.
Okay.
I think it is an outstanding school. I developed some teacher-student relationships in courses that I took later. And in each and every case, I found the faculty so approachable. And I think in part that was because they recognized, you know, I really was there to get something, not to be just given something. But we actually had an exchange, and just several classes I took, and I really felt good. I felt like, you know, at exam time, I was ready because I had taken advantage of those relationships, you know. I would just say, any college student, especially undergraduate, immerse yourself in college life. You get it one time. You get that shot one time. You know, and so play hard, but also join some of the college organizations on campus, you know, and network and get to know people in that way. And that was an opportunity I think I didn't take advantage of. You know, I didn't develop any lifelong relationships from campus that I really didn't have before I went there. So I would say do that, because you never know, you know. So I would suggest you highly do that. And if you don't love the school, go somewhere else. Really. I mean that about any school.
Mm-hmm.
Go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. I understand. Well, Ms. Shelton, I don't have any more formal questions. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the interview?
No.
No? All right. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me. I've enjoyed it.
Okay.
I've enjoyed our conversations, and I hope that those who listen to it will learn just as much as I did.
All right.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.